Well, good morning, everybody. How are you all doing? I'm very warm, so, you know, I might have to freeze you out and ask Jill to turn the AC down. But I'm here anyway. I'll cool down. What I want to talk about in this kingdom of Jesus, I want to start by talking about family. We are a family in the kingdom of Jesus, and we like spending time together. Whenever my family gets together, like my extended family, we inevitably end up talking about who takes after who in the family, right? Whose features do each of us have? Do I have dad's eyes, mom's smile? Whose personality do we have? Who's more reserved? Who's the moody one? My brother. Who's more talkative? We want to understand each other, and so we ask each other, who do I look like? Now, my grandma, who is my dad's mom, she would always just be listening to us discussing this, and she really wouldn't say anything until we would be going and talking and talking, and she'd finally say, you know, you look like who you are. You look like who you are. And as fun as it is to compare our similarities with other family members, my grandma was right. Because each of us is created, uniquely designed, and created by God. He specifically crafted our souls, our personalities, our physical attributes, down to the smallest details of our DNA. And even identical twins who actually have the same DNA still have one-of-a-kind fingerprints because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are awesomely and lovingly created by God, for God, and in God's own image. Because after creating the whole world and all the creatures in it, this is what Scripture says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is called Imago Dei. This is the Latin term for image of God. Because God created us to reflect him spiritually and mentally and morally. We reflect his glory, his traits, his characteristics. He loves us so much that when he created us, he wanted to set us apart. Because we're not like the other creatures that he made. We are his image bearers, his children. He looks at us and sees that we are his worthy creation. We are worthy of his love, and we are made to have a relationship with him, to walk with him, to worship him, to glorify him, and to care for his creation, his kingdom here on earth. This is God's design, and it began with Adam and Eve, right? He sustained them, and he provided all that they needed when they were in the Garden of Eden. He provided his love, his affection, connection with him, his comfort, nourishment for their bodies. They didn't even have to work to get food. It was just there for them. And Adam and Eve had complete trust in God. They didn't experience fear or shame. They were exactly where they were meant to be. But then the Imago Dei was marred by sin's entrance into the world. Because being created in God's image means that humans also have free will. And when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, Their sin caused a separation between humans and God from then on. They broke their own trust in God, and the consequences of that were fear, shame, pain, and death became the way of living on earth. But there's good news. God wants to restore our identity as his image bearers. He has a plan of reconciliation and redemption prepared for his children. The sacrifice and resurrection of his own child, Jesus Christ, redeems his creation, and he freely offers us a way back into his eternal kingdom, which is a kingdom of image bearers. And we are saved from eternal pain when we accept God's free gift of grace. When we turn from our sins and follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is a free gift. And yet, it is one that many struggle to accept because they think that they have to earn it in some way. But here's the thing about that. That goes against the purpose of the gift, right? When I give gifts to my kids, I don't base it on whether they have good grades or if they've done all their chores in the house. I'm not looking at the list going, sorry. You missed one. You missed a spot mopping. Therefore, you don't get it. No birthday gifts for you. No. And I don't even base it on if they've, you know, maybe talked back to me or done something kind of wild, like gotten angry and kicked a hole in the wall. You can figure out which of my kids did that, okay? But still, I give them gifts because I love them. I love them for who they are, not what they do. I love them even when I have to have difficult conversations with them about their choices. I deeply love them. And my desire is for them to experience joy and happiness and fulfillment. And in my experience with children, this is something that they do understand. They don't question whether they deserve the gift. They just gladly receive it. Please tell me if you've ever had a child say, no, I don't want that. Now, Jesus understands our struggle with this, and that is why he teaches us to become like little children. So let's hear what Jesus has to say about this by going into the book of Matthew. And so I'm going to invite up Megan and a little child, Bruno, to read the scripture this morning. We'll be in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6.
Good morning. Matthew 18. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin? Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand and one foot than to be thrown into the eternal fire with both." I lost my place. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. Oh, we stopped at six? I'm sorry. I thought she said eight. Okay.
Thank you. Well, that was the word of the Lord. Thank you, Bruno, too. Thank you for reminding us what little children are like. So with that, let us pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for the laughter and joy that we can hear your scripture and see an example of your little children, of what they do, of who they are. Help us to remember that about ourselves as we learn from you today, as we learn from your word, your teachings, Jesus. God, help us to know what it means to become like little children, to enter your kingdom that is different than anything else that we have thought. God, just help us to hear you today. In your name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to reread verses 2 and 3 so we can listen to what Jesus says there. Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So become like little children. When it comes to being God's image bearer, Jesus is the goat, the greatest of all time. He is God's son and God himself, fully human. He sets the example for us on what it means to live, to live as God's children, to receive the gift of salvation, and to enter his kingdom. And if we are God's children, right? We are made in his image, then we must become like little children. So how do we become like little children? The key word is like. We must become childlike, but not childish. So let's break down the difference between childlikeness and childishness. Pardon me while I get a drink. We're going to start with childishness. Childishness has a negative connotation. It's characterized by immaturity and selfishness and argumentative behavior that is inappropriate for one's age. We actually see an example of the disciples behaving childishly in verse 1 that we heard, when they asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because just before this, they had actually been arguing with each other about which one of them was the greatest. Like, no, it's me, I'm greater. No, I'm going to sit by him in the kingdom. But Jesus comes up and he says, hey, what are you all talking about? So I imagine they were feeling probably pretty red-faced when they said, we were just wondering which one of us is the greatest in your kingdom? And then Jesus lovingly humbles them and basically says, none of you are the greatest. It's not about you being better than anyone else. You need to understand how much you don't understand. You need to realize that you need to rely on God and not your own power. And this type of childish behavior stems from something that we all deal with, pride. Pride is why so many of us struggle to just accept God's gift of salvation. We are behaving pridefully when we think that we can tally up a list of all the good things that we've done and prove ourselves worthy to God and to others. But nothing that we do can deem us worthy. God is not measuring our list of accomplishments before he gives us his gift of salvation. We are behaving pridefully when we try to take control of our lives, when we try to solve the problems we face by relying on our own abilities. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I can do it myself. Have you heard little children saying that? This is a false confidence in ourselves that places us above God. This denies our need to rely on Him. But here's the thing. We are also behaving pridefully when we refuse to see ourselves as God sees us. This is the opposite of our list of accomplishments. This is when we get dragged down, thinking about all the ways we don't measure up. When we think, I've just made too many mistakes. I've hurt too many people. I've committed too many sins. They're too great. I will never be good enough. I am not worthy of God's love. But when we say things like this, we're saying that we know ourselves better than God does. And remember, God looks at us and He sees His children that He designed in His own image. And while, yes, it is true, we are sinners. And because of that, we aren't good enough. But just as God doesn't measure our worth on our accomplishments, He also doesn't measure us on the depth of our sins. He knows every single thing about us. Every thought, every action. And He doesn't expect us to clean ourselves up before He offers His gift of salvation. He says, become like a child and accept this gift of life. He says, I love you so much that I sacrificed my own son for you so that you can receive it. And through Him, all of your sins are erased. He is the one who makes you clean. And it is through Christ that we are deemed worthy. And as His children, we need to continue living this way. And so, we must become childlike. So childlikeness, this includes all of the positive aspects of children's behavior. Right? It's characterized by humility, trust, wonder, and joy. So now, how can we develop these characteristics within ourselves? In verse 18:4, Jesus says, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Excuse me. Humility is the opposite of pride. To become humble is to admit that we are powerless on our own. We are in need of God. We need to rely on Him to sustain us, to provide for us, and to empower us to act according to His will and not our own. And humility is what allows us to trust in God. And this trust, this is beyond just acknowledging that we need God. This is actually letting Him provide for us and not worrying about whether He will. You see, children are dependent on others. They trust that someone bigger is going to take care of them. And this is very hard for us as adults. Because that means that we need to stop worrying about our jobs and our finances and our health and our family and our life and our future. And we experience pain and loss and death. And so we struggle with feelings of fear and anxiety about what is going to happen. But this is exactly what Jesus is teaching us to let go of. To give your worries and anxieties to Him and trust that God will care for you. that he has a plan for you, and he makes all things work together for the good of his children who love him. This is the childlikeness that Jesus is teaching about in his kingdom. And so, in order to build childlike trust in God, we need to practice being more like a child. So something that children often do is engage in their senses of awe and wonder. They notice details in the world around them that we stop paying attention to. Will you look around for just a few seconds? And notice something that you've never paid attention to before. Maybe it's the lights, colors on the cross, the sound or lack of sound because the air is not on. But you notice your surroundings by becoming aware of your senses, right? What do you see? What do you hear? Smell. I say that a lot. What's that smell? What is that? What do you taste? What do you feel? How do you feel? And then you wonder about what you're experiencing. What does this mean for you? And then you begin to recognize God in that wonder. The warmth of his embrace as the sun shines on your face. Do you ever just go outside and stand in the sun? I love doing that in the mornings. The nourishment of his provision for you as you savor your meals. Every meal that you eat, every food, God provided that for you, for us. The awesome, awesome beauty of his creation as you marvel at everything, every single thing, from the tallest of trees staring up at the sequoias and the redwoods, to the littlest ants marching along the ground. From the depths of the ocean, standing and watching the waves, considering how deep, how wide, to the depths of your own soul. This noticing and wondering deepens our understanding of God. It helps us recognize how God loves and cares for the world that he created, and then helps us recognize how God loves and cares for us, his children that he created. And then we know that we can trust him. So let's actually practice being childlike. Let's experience some wonder together. I'd like you to think about something or someone in your childhood that you loved and that made you feel loved. Maybe it's a place that you visited. Maybe it's a stuffed animal that you slept with every single night. Maybe it's a family pet or a song that you heard, or maybe it's a person who cared for you. And as you remember this something or some place or someone, I wonder what sensory experiences you had. What did you see? Do you remember the details? Can you see it? Do you remember certain sounds? Is it the grandfather clock ticking in the background? Certain smells, the smell of your dad's morning coffee, maybe. What textures can you feel? You feel the grass in your fingers if you're sitting outside. And how do these details remind you of the love that you experienced from that? And then how do you recognize God in that love? I wonder if you do. Can you think about that? Because even if you didn't know him when you were a child, or you thought you didn't know him, he knew you, and he loved you, and he still loves you. And when we live like his children in awe and wonder, we recognize his love, and again, we deepen our trust in him. One of the experiences that I remember when I think about this is being with my grandma Ethel. That's the same grandma who always said, "You look like who you are." Whenever I went to her house, she would read me stories. She had this cabinet in her house in the family room that was just full of children's books. And I always loved it because it was child size with this little door. It felt like a magical world. And I would go over there and open the cabinet and grab a pile of books to bring back to her to read to me. And then she would always gather me up onto her lap while she was sitting in her pink recliner. And she loved that chair. And I always had to sit on her lap while she was reading. And I'd snuggle up to her. And it was just a joy. And oftentimes I wasn't alone. I have twin brothers, and they were always with me too. So we would have to share her lap. She would have all three of us on her lap. I don't know how she did it. She was this big, but somehow she had all of us on her lap, and she would take turns reading each of our stories. Probably the pile of books was this high, but we would all be there, and I would just feel safe and loved in her arms. And I know when I look back on that's that feeling of God. God was there in that moment. That safety, that love. And it's so important that we look back and that we recognize these glimpses of God with us as children. Because this is what encourages us to continue recognizing him in our lives now and in the future. Because we know that in the future, we will still go through painful and difficult experiences. But when we become like little children, we can trust in God to know that he's there, and we can live with joy. Joy is my favorite fruit of the Spirit. I know that we're supposed to have them all, but I just love joy. And I really think that children are experts when it comes to joy, and that we can learn a lot from them. So I have I'm going to have a list of ways, that children experience joy. These are just some of the ways that children experience joy. But these are ways that we can experience joy too. By playing together. Just playing. Playing board games. Playing sports. Go out to the basketball court. Playing hide and seek. And if you think you're too old for that, talk to the youth, because they love that game. Or the opposite of hide and seek, which is sardines. That's a different conversation. But anyway, it's about playing. It's about experiencing joy in playing. And playing by yourself, too. I mean, you know what I love doing? Playing with Legos. I rewarded myself with a box of Legos this week. I thought, you know what? I'm preaching. I deserve this little treat. I'm going to play with some Legos. And I even had to tell my kids, I'm sorry, kids, this is mommy's Legos, okay? So, but it's fun to just reconnect with your childlikeness. Laughing with friends, telling jokes, spending time outside. I know a lot of you enjoy that. Being outside, singing and dancing, really dancing. You guys can dance and move in worship too, or just, you know, if you need to be on your own in your own room, in your car, I'll pull up to you and I'll see you dancing around. You'll see me. I'm not ashamed, okay? Using your imagination, that goes back to that wonder, that thinking through, that imagining. Imagining a life, your life with God. What will he do? What amazing things has he planned for you? And being creative. God is creative. We're made to be creative. Getting our hands into creativity, whether that's paint, music, poetry, Plato. Again, that's another fun one. So when we practice these childlike ways ourselves, we are experiencing what the kingdom of Jesus is like. The letting go of worry, the trust, and the true joy. Because true joy comes from Jesus Christ. It's beyond just that feeling of happiness. True joy is what sustains us through the difficult times in our lives. That we can still have joy in the sorrow. A few months after my grandma Ethel passed away, I found out I was pregnant with twins. But they stopped developing, and I ended up having a miscarriage. And as I was recovering and grieving, God gave me a vision of my twins, twin boys in heaven. And they were sitting with my grandma Ethel. She was in her chair holding them on her lap. And I knew that they were safe and they were loved. And even in my sadness, I was filled with joy. The joy of Jesus Christ and my trust in God who loves me as his child. And that's how he loves every single one of us. So we go back to the beginning. Become like little children. Be humble. Practice wonder. Experience joy and trust God. Accept his gift. Enter his kingdom and remember that you are God's child. You are worthy of his love. You are made in his image, his imago Dei. Before I close in prayer, I want you all to experience a moment of joy. So can you take a look at these precious children? Somewhere. There they are. And I wonder if you recognize any of these image bearers of God. And I will give you a hint. They all are on staff at Covenant Grove. And they're adorable. And that's how God sees each one of you. He sees us as his children. You can guess and ask me later. I'll tell you who's who. So I'd like to, we can leave this up, but I'd like to invite the worship team up before I pray, or as I pray. And for my prayer today, I'm going to be reading it from this book of prayers that I have. These prayers were all written by this pastor named Ted Loader. And they're written kind of like poetically. And this one is called, Help Me Unbury Wonder. O God of the miracles, of galaxies, and crocuses and children, I praise you now from the soul of the child within me. Shy in my awe, delighted by my foolishness, stubborn in my wanting, persistent in my questioning, and bold in my asking you to help me unbury my talents for wonder and humor and gratitude, so I may invest them eagerly in the recurring mysteries of spring and beginnings, of willows that weep and rivers that flow, and people who grow in such endlessly amazing and often painful ways, that I will be forever linked and loyal to justice and joy, simplicity and humanity, Christ and his kingdom. Amen.